The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this final Sunday before Christmas, we observe Advent as a preparation for the return of Christ in glory. And also we look to the Christmas story in anticipation of the Savior's birth. But first, I will ask you a question. If you were asked what is your most pressing need or your most important wish, what would it be? Think of this. If you were born a slave, your number one wish would be to be free, right? And so, likewise, if you grew up in Europe at the time of religious persecutions, your wish would be to be granted passage to come to America, the New World, correct? So because you would want to be free, so you would want to practice your religion, and then so you would come just as it has happened in the past. So what is your number one wish? I would like to ask you, what is your number one wish? So Israelites had a similar wish as well. They were conquered by the Romans, and their deepest wish was to be free again. Of course, remember, they used to give taxes for the temple, and then they were also, in addition to that, they had to give taxes to the Romans. So they didn't want that. I'm sure you understand that. So their comfort was to return to Holy Scriptures to understand from earlier prophecies when their freedom would eventually happen. So Micah was one of those prophets who talked about the Messiah. So he hints about the son of David, the king, born in Bethlehem. And by the way, Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so it's the royal birthplace of King David. So no wonder there is this expectation that this new king, this Messiah, is going to be born from this little town of Bethlehem. So what Micah is going to do is to bring us into focus to understand about this man from heaven who is going to come to us. So this man is expected to be the one to answer all those wishes. You have one wish in your mind? Do you have one wish, your number one wish? So he is the one that they were all thinking, this person is going to be the one to make everything new, to be free at last. This man from heaven, the Messiah whom the Song of Mary is introducing us right at the time when these two mothers with these two miraculous pregnancy, one in his 80s and one maybe in his early teens, that they're both pregnant, and when they meet, they greet each other, one's in the womb, the unborn baby, leap with joy. What an announcement. A cosmic announcement that makes even unborn babies leap with joy. That kind of announcement. I want you to hold that thought. Behold the coming of the man from heaven, the one that will make all things new. He's worth waiting for, and he's worth preparing for. So, are you curious to learn more about this man from heaven? I want you to answer yes. I'm hoping to turn you into an African audience. Well, I don't know what your number one issue or wish is, but just to verify, you may find that some of our deepest longing and fear is in there. Remember when you say, what if this happens? What if this happens? My daughter has started to drive, so I'm always in this mode of, what if? What if? What if? And so, and other times you have, my greatest wish is this, and my greatest wish is this. And often enough, we come to the simple realization that we are not in control of anything. God is. And unfortunately, we get disappointed when things don't turn out the way we want them to. But don't lose hope. God knows the best time our answer is to come. And fortunately for Israelites, the answer was close at the gate. Israel wasn't prepared. Even though we've been talking about this cosmic announcement coming, and then the Israelites are very busy in their normal things, but things are happening in the meantime, but they have no idea that things are happening in the spiritual realm. So the Messiah was on his way, and the Bible tells us that he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So they weren't ready. They did not prepare a place for him. And this made me realize what, when Jesus was walking here on earth, a parable he gave of 10 bridesmaids. They were talking about having their lamps with flames and the oil, enough oil. And then he talked about how there were foolish ones who thought, I'm okay. It's down the road on the shop. I'm going to be getting my oil later. Not a problem. Some people, when they fill their gas, they feel when it's halfway, they feel it's like empty. They want to fill it again. So I view like that as well. So those people were it's close to empty. I'm going to be going a bit later. But Jesus was going to give that to tell us that, yes, we need to be prepared for his second coming. And when he comes, will you be ready? And I think in this time of Advent is the same kind of waiting for the birth of our Savior. In the meantime, okay, this cosmic announcement has gone out and they have missed it. And I thought that this, if not careful, we could be in the same danger as Israelites if we think we don't need to prepare for the arrival of this man from heaven. It's like being on final approach for those who are pilots, who will appreciate this. Pilots need to have their landing checklist done for a safe landing. And the same applies for us as we prepare our hearts to receive Jesus Christ. It's a pretty big deal for us to receive Jesus Christ. It's been said that Christ must be born from every soul, formed in every life. And this is Carol Hauslander who wrote that. It is the idea that the life of God is in the soul of man. The life of God, Living in the Soul of Man. This is a title of a classic book that Charles Wesley's mother gave to him. Oh, look at how he turned out. He became a good preacher. So will we be able to create a cushy and plump manger for Christ to dwell in our spiritual life? That's the question. Will you prepare a very good place, a good place for God to dwell? So preparation is important, because in this increasingly secular age, our hearts and minds and souls are pulled away from God by this toxic environment of darkness that cannot coexist with God's dwelling. So we need to do away with certain things in our lives. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would convict us, to tell us, to reveal to us, maybe this I don't need. Maybe this I don't need. And we've collected quite a lot of stuff, a lot of habits in our lives, but do we need those? Do we need those? And I pray the Holy Spirit to convict us, to that all those things need to disappear from our lives. And perhaps some of those things are the things that try to sniff out our candle, our lights, our lamps, and kind of consume our oil in such a way that is way below the halfway, and we are not concerned. Isn't that a problem? When we are not concerned that things are not the way they're not supposed to be. But that's why we need to invite the very life of God in our lives, in our spiritual lives, to let this divine character of the man from heaven to impact us, to affect us, to transform us. So will he find us ready? Aren't you scared, like me, about that phrase that you meet in the Bible? Will the Son of Man find us ready when he comes back? Does that scare you? Does that scare you? Will he find us ready? Perhaps, to end, this Christmas season, getting ready might mean there is some deep cleaning to do in our spiritual lives. And for others, maybe it will be about some real appreciation for those people that we love. Please don't forget to tell them that you love them. You can't assume that they know that you love them, so you have to tell them, lest they think you take them for granted. So prepare yourself to be worthy dwelling of God. Amen.